Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Thank you. in my normal Monday through Friday job with the city, I was given a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Has anybody ever read that by Stephen Covey? Amazing book, really, really good book. As you can tell by the title, this book is about developing 7 habits in your life that will change your life. He went on to write another book with a couple called First Things First. Those writers of that book recognize that our lives are busy, right? As Americans, they are busy. There are so many things that we have to do. There are so many things that we should do. There are so many things that we want to do. We need to learn how to prioritize, though, that list. We need to make sure that we take care of the important things first. In the book, they ask this question that hopefully is up on the screen. What is the one activity that you know if you did superbly well and consistently would have significant positive results in your personal life? That's a great question to wrestle with. Great question for this morning. How would you answer that? How would you answer that spiritually? What is the one thing, the one activity, that if you know if you did it superbly well, right, and consistently, it would have a significant positive impact on your life? The book points out that we often let the urgent take priority over the more important. We let the urgent drive us over what's truly important, and we end up, because of that, missing out. We are living in a culture that more and more neglects spiritual matters. I mean, who has time today to pay attention to spiritual things, right? We are busy. Our schedules are full. That could be because we're overcommitted. We say yes to too many things. Or it could be that we're over-entertained. We also say yes to too many things. A lot of people are just tired. And people are saying, don't ask me to do one more thing, right? Because I am full to the brim. On one hand, we have all these responsibilities weighing us down, calling for our attention for us to do something. And on the other hand, we have the God of the universe who says, be still, right? Life is like a storm, and God says, be still and know that I am God. God, do you really expect me to be still? Have you watched the news? Right? Do you know what's going on? Do you feel the spiritual forces at work all around us and in our culture? Do you see all these fires that need my attention? Well, I think the answer is found in this scripture, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Would you stand in honor of God's word? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. One version says she was worried and troubled about many things. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Another translation says, one thing is necessary, one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a light unto our path. May it guide us in this dark world so that we do not stumble, Lord, so that we can follow you, so that other people can follow us as we do that. Lord, as we pray, soften our hearts, convict us, rebuke us, challenge us, call us, equip us, Lord, through it. Lord, we give you all praise and thanks for all that we have in it. It's in your name we pray, Jesus, amen. You may be seated. You know when Jesus says, indeed, only one thing is needed, right? That should leap off the page for us. One thing is necessary. Only one thing is needed. I don't know about you, but I'm immediately curious. What is that one thing? I know the majority of you know it. We live in a world that teaches us that it is important to stay busy with many things. The more things, the better, right? After all, the more things on your calendar, the fuller that your life will be, the more valuable that you are. That's our culture's message. But we know that Jesus is countercultural, right? And he says it's really just about one thing. One thing is necessary. One thing is most important. Martha is saying to Jesus, oh, there's so much to do. She's looking at everything that is on the list. We read that Martha is the one who opens her house. The cultural responsibility is on her to be the host, right? It's on her to serve everyone and make sure everybody's taken care of, especially when a guest like Jesus comes to your house. Are you just going to let her sit there, Jesus? Martha, Martha. Maybe put your own name in there. James, James, you are worried and troubled about so many things. I don't know about you, but there are not too many days that go by without something worrisome or troubling popping up in my life. Early on in my pastorate and in my normal job, I spent a lot of time worrying and being troubled by many things. I still find myself being drawn to that place still today. I'm thankful in how Jesus handles this, though. He doesn't blast Martha. He doesn't yell at her. He's not mad. He's not saying there isn't a time to serve and get things done, right? He's not saying that that stuff doesn't matter. What he's saying is there is one thing that is more important than any other thing. One thing. But Jesus, these other things are urgent. Do we realize God has everything that we need, though? For fulfillment and purpose and freedom and victory and joy. These are things from the Lord. These are things only from the Lord. And he has them for us. He has them for us, and he's inviting us to his table. And we can sit down as often as we are willing to. But while those are available, I know for many of us, we are worried and distracted by many things. I've lived, like I said, in that place of worry and distraction, and I hated it. I'm tempted, as I said, to be drawn back there. And sometimes it happens until I remember who's inviting me to the table. Until I remember he has everything that I need. He is the answer. I just can't let the urgent take priority over the one thing. Here's the truth. In our culture, we have grown accustomed to spiritual malnourishment. We dash into church for a quick bite. We have our quick 3-minute devotion and prayer in the morning, right? We do it, but it fizzles out fast. I don't have time to sit down for a meal. I can do the appetizer. We must be careful of the Martha mentality because it makes its way to the table too often and it calls us away from it. In turn, God's children who are called to eat the bread of life and drink the living water so that we can be on mission, right, are settling for whatever we can quickly eat to sustain us. We're settling for scraps, and that's why I said we're spiritually malnourished. It doesn't have to be that way because we have a seat at God's table. And he has everything that we need to fill us. Fill us overflowing. You can feed your starving soul, right, as often as you want. Spending time with Jesus is the only thing that will truly satisfy your soul. It's the only way to truly be discipled. Do you know that if you take the time to listen to God, God will actually speak to you? He will. We've talked about this with prayer, right? You don't need to be the only one talking when you pray. You should actually spend more time not talking when you pray. He has things he wants to say to you. He will speak to you through the praise and worship team playing, right? He'll definitely speak to you through his word. He'll speak to you when you take the time to stop and listen. What kind of expectations do you have for this gathering, right? What about Bible study? Do you expect God to speak to you in those places, in this place today? Do you expect God to speak to you in your personal time with him? Are you waiting for him to do that? Are you quieting your mind so that you can hear him? Are you shutting up so that you can hear him? Is that what you pray before you come into this place, before the service? Lord, would you speak to my heart today? It's what we pray, right? Do you pray that before your quiet time? I don't think we want it. I don't think we ask for it. I don't think we're listening. It's available at the table, but it requires us to sit down. We must want it and not rush it. We've all had a conversation with somebody who is in that conversation but not in that conversation, right? And you can tell everything that you're saying to them is just going in one ear and out the other ear because they are distracted. That is us. That is us all too often with our time at the table before the King of Kings. God knows our hearts. He knows if we really want to hear from him, if we really desire, if we're willing to wait for that. What would it look like if we took the posture of Mary before him? What would it say if we just sat down and removed all the distractions and said, I'm listening, Lord. Would you speak to me? What if we were more focused on listening than talking with our time with him? How many times do we just rush through our quiet time or skip that time, right, completely, or skip church because we've got a ton of other things that we got to get done? You get the one thing corporately in services like this and Bible study, right? And you also get the one thing personally when you spend that time with him. How important, though, are those things? How prepared are you for those times? How's your posture during those times? In our corporate time together, we always start off with worship and prayer, right? Worship puts us in the right position. It puts us in the position that Mary took. It puts us in front of Jesus at his feet. That's the purpose of worship. Prayer enters us into a conversation with him.
that hopefully doesn't stop. You can have that personally too. Start off your time with worship when you're alone with Him. Sing praises to His name, right? Remember who He is. Move to prayer, though, and start the conversation and finish that conversation by listening to what He says through His word. That's your quiet time. He speaks through that. That takes time. And too often, though, the urgent takes precedent over the one thing. Spending time with Jesus alone or completely was fire for the early church. Fire, literally, for the early church. The early church waited on the Lord. Do you remember when they were waiting in that upper room and fire fell on them? We're not willing to wait. We don't want that. The fire is still available. Do we seek it? Do we seek it? Or are we seeking pleasure, comfort, the things of this world? That's America's religion today. It's recreation, consumerism, and pleasure. That's what it's all about. That's what we want. I want to be comfortable. I want to be entertained, right? I want to do what makes me feel good. I want to experience things. I want things. So that's what we go after, and that's why we don't have the fire, right? We're like Esau. We are like Esau. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? Esau traded his birthright for soup. We are trading our birthright as children of God for trinkets of the world. We're just like Him. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, but mark this, write this down, note this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He's talking about the church having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's the American church. Have nothing to do with such people. We have the ability to spend time with the God of the universe, and we trade that. And we have become people that love themselves, people that love pleasure more than we love God. And what is the result of that? We have a form of godliness. It looks like godliness, but there is no power in it. That's why we're stuck in our own ways. That's why we are stuck to lay down the sins that we're trapped in. That's why we hang on to unforgiveness and bitterness. We love ourselves. We love pleasure more than we love God. How do you know if that's you? How do you know if you're there? If I said, I want you to go home and spend the next hour with God in prayer and Bible reading, what would be your response? An hour? How would you honestly react to that? If that's the last thing you would want to do the next hour, then what's that say? Does that say you are a lover of God? We're trading our birthright for soup, church. We're lovers of this world. We're lovers of pleasure. We're lovers of comfort. And here's the scary part, right? We're passing that down to our kids. That's what we're passing down. Honestly, man, I've been wrestling with that. What am I passing down? What am I showing my kids is the most important thing in life? What gets the priority in my life? We encourage our kids to sign up for everything, right? Good things. But I'm wrestling with that. Because are we just encouraging them to be distracted all the time? Am I teaching my kids that things and experiences are the goal of life? Or am I showing them that the one thing is the priority? This picture that we just read is a picture of the church. Did you recognize that? It's a group gathering together to hear the words of Jesus. What do we allow to be more important than the one thing? Church has become optional today in our society. Quiet times alone with God are optional today. Am I the only one rushing through my quiet time? Or skipping it at times? What model am I passing down? We are killing ourselves to acquire things. The more things we acquire, the more things that we have to take care of. The more things that we have to take care of, the more that we have to live like Martha. Is that what we want to pass down? The Bible trivia question, Mark 10:25, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man or someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. Do we believe it? Jesus says it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, right? But is that what we're striving for in this life? We don't realize the chains that come with the things of this world. We're in trouble. We're Martha, and we're passing that mentality down to the next generation. One thing is necessary. One thing is most important. Sometimes I've read that passage, and I think, yeah, I'm like Martha, and I should be like Mary, but it's okay because Jesus still loves me. He's just shaking his head at me. My friends, there's more weight there. One thing is necessary. One thing is needed. And that's what Mary did. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking him in, listening to what he's saying, right, and applying it to my life. It's about having a deeper connection with him, and it's necessary. You have to have this one thing. It's needed, right? That time at the table with Jesus will change everything. Everything in this life will try to get you to believe that you don't have time to sit there. That's what our culture will tell you. That's what everything will scream at you, right? But by being there, you get everything you need. I tell you this before, but if I try to come up with a sermon or write one, and I'm not spending time with him, it sputters. It is a horrible experience. And sometimes it takes me days to hear the bell ring and say, did you pray about it? Did you seek him about it? Did you spend time with him, asking him for what to say, for what to preach on, right? The sputter is my reminder. And I know when the sputter comes, the deadline's coming. And that's what I'm thinking. I definitely don't have time to spend with him. But I know that when I do, it all works out. Somehow the timing makes it. What I've come to learn is I don't have time not to spend with him. Because I need what he has. I forget that and have to be reminded of that. Get at his feet. Sit down there, right? He'll take care of the rest. You can't accomplish on your own strength in a year what you can accomplish through his strength in one sitting. A pastor who preached a similar message was talking about going to church, and in the church bulletin, it had the Martha ministry. They thought it was a compliment because this was the ministry that got things done, got things accomplished, right? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, at least I think, a lot of us relate more to Martha than Mary. I think we kind of take pride in it. We want to come to Martha's defense, right? Jesus, you're being a little too hard on her. We need the Marthas, don't we, in the church? She just wants to make sure that everything is taken care of. Do you really want us all to be like Mary? Will anything ever get done, right? I think that. But then I hear Jesus' words ringing loudly in my head. One thing is needed. One thing is necessary. Well, do I really believe that? Because if I did, wouldn't that one thing be more important than anything? Yeah. These are Jesus' words, right? This one thing is necessary. For the last 20 years, the American family has been maxed out to the hilt. Work, activities, entertainment, we're committed to it all, right? Look at your schedule. I pulled out my schedule, and it's just really the kids' schedule with some church things in it. Every day is maxed out. Or maybe it's not max, but we're just choosing to spend every day with entertainment and pleasure as the priority for that day, or being comfortable. How much time do we spend in front of screens? Unless we're willing to change some things and develop a different spiritual routine, right, I'm afraid that we will rarely experience that one thing, that one life-changing thing. This is where we're at today. This is the crossroads for many of us. Unless we're willing to make that one thing the priority ahead of everything, right, then everything else will suffer. You'll suffer as a parent. You'll suffer as a spouse, right? You won't do it as well as you would if you made that one thing the most important thing. One thing is needed. One thing is necessary. The chance to sit at Jesus' feet was the most important thing to Mary. I'm sure she was helping Martha before Jesus came. I'm sure she felt that same call from her culture to keep on serving, right, and being that hostess. But this one thing was more important than anything else. This is the place we have to get to today. Most of us are operating out of a place of depletion. Right, we're so tired, so spent, so empty, we just want to quit. And we do quit, right? We quit thinking that it'll help us, but we find out when we quit, we just stay in that same mode of depletion because we're not spending time with the one thing, with what's truly important. Spend time with the one who will fill your cup overflowing. He is the only one that can fill your cup, right? Spend time with the one who is the bread of life, living water, nourishment for your soul. Listen, he won't force you to sit. That's not him. Why would you make anybody sit with you that didn't want to be there, right? I'm not trying to beat you up or make anybody feel guilty when you miss church. But I want you to be full. And I know this is an opportunity for that. I want you to spend time in the Word. That's why we challenge you to do it. Because we want you to be full. Right? I want you to have an amazing quiet time. I want that time to be a refuge for you. Because I know how this world is. But the choice is yours. Mary had the choice. Martha had the choice. One chose, one didn't. The offer was available to both. The offer is available to you. Choose what's best. in your life, right? Would you stand with me? All of you will make a choice today. All of you. You'll make a choice tomorrow. You'll make a choice every day of this week, right? Throughout this year. Throughout this year, you make different choices, right? Choices to be Mary at times, choices to be Martha. As a result, you'll either find yourself full or find yourself empty. Some of you will be too distracted. Some of you will chase after the things of this world. But I promise you that if you do that, you'll be empty. I pray that when you realize that, when you feel that emptiness, when you feel that I'm tired, I'm done, I'm spent, I don't want one more thing, I pray you remember the words of Jesus when he said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find," what? "Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's December. It's going to get crazy, right? So many things to do. You got a choice. I want you to do the one thing. I want you to find freedom. I want you to find joy. I want you to find purpose. I want you to find hope. And I know from personal experience that only comes from the one thing. Will you do that? Will you make him a priority? Growing up, I didn't like broccoli. Ate it because I had to. Sometimes that's how we approach a quiet time. But the more I ate it, the more I learned to love it. And now I love it. I'll eat it. It's good for me, but that's not the reason I'm doing it. I love broccoli, right? You can come to the place where you love your quiet time. Love and treasure that time with him, because it is a place of peace, peace that goes beyond everything. But you got to be in it. I used to read the Bible to learn about God, right? And when you do that, sometimes you don't like what you read about God. But then you look at the cross and you remember what he did for you. And you focus not on learning about God, but coming to know him. And that's when you start really having the scripture unlocked for you. Some of you are in a place right now where you're reading it and it's like a brick wall, right? Ask him for wisdom. You got to know him to ask him. Spend time with him and he'll unlock things. He'll show you things that you never saw before. He'll show you things only meant for you, right? But you got to spend time at the table. Will you do that? Choice is yours. Choice is yours. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, right? And I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. I pray you find that, especially during this season. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I know we live in America where we have everything available to us. So much to draw us away from you. So much to tempt us. So many shiny things, Lord. Father, we are a wealthy group of people, every one of us, compared to the world, Lord. And we hear your words. It's hard. It's hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Lord, let that not be us. Father, I pray that this season, Lord, I pray if somebody is depressed, if somebody is broken, if somebody is spent, if somebody is empty, if somebody just feels like they have nothing in them anymore, Father, I pray that they would spend that time at your feet, Lord, in this corporate setting, in the Bible studies that we offer, Lord, and even more importantly, in that quiet time alone with you. Speak to us, Lord. Let us be people that listen, Father, and let us as parents pass that on to our kids, Lord. Let us be models of that. Let us be examples of how important that one thing is, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.